Hello everybody and welcome to Wessex Ways podcast. You may be able to tell by the sound of my feet, the sound of the birds singing, the sound of a jumbo jet in the distance, that we are outside today. I say we, you may have already noticed as well, there's no dulcet tones of Hedley Fawn in the background either. Hedley will be up in about 20 minutes. Now, the reason for an outside podcast today is largely because for the last 3 or 4 weeks Hedley and I have been super busy with our own random projects as always, and we've just not been able to tie up our diaries. So with that in mind, we decided to record two separate pieces, stick them together as one podcast. I think we've done that once before, sort of during the silly holiday period. So Paul up first. So where am I today? Well, I took inspiration from a podcast we did a couple of 3 months back when Hedley went for a walk on the North Hampshire Downs. So I thought to myself, well, let's go for a walk up there too. I want to record another video for my YouTube channel up here as well. So kill two birds with one stone, and here we are on the North Hampshire Downs. And wow, something else. Now I've been up here many times before, on the Coombe Gibbet side. However, I decided to start this time from the Fackham side, and I wanted to have a look at the hill fort up here, which I've never really done before because I've always gone the Tess Way side, which goes from Coombe Gibbet, let's say west for a very short period, and then south on down through Hampshire. However, this time for me, something new, time to take a look at a huge hill fort. So yeah, welcome to Wessex Ways episode, no idea because I haven't checked, but welcome nonetheless. Walbury Hill Fort, absolutely huge. One of those ones you don't really think is going to be that big. Let's navigate a gate. Now we all talk about sort of Maiden Castle being a kilometre across. Well, that's probably 800 metres, and I think we discussed this before, but you don't really appreciate how big that is. Now, I'm in a field now just to the east, southeast of Walbury Hill Fort. Open access field, huge, full of random pockets of gorse. And I remember, probably from 15 years ago, maybe more, there's a wooded area I can see, probably about 200 metres from me, again towards the east, and in there was a geocache. Used to do a lot of geocaching years ago. And in that wooded area, there's a little beautiful little pond. Now bear in mind, we're probably nearly, I don't know, 280 metres above sea level. And yeah, right up here on the chalk is a pond. So obviously it's, I guess it's like a dew pond, maybe sat on some pocket of clay or something. Don't really know how that works, not a geologist. Anyway, Walbury Hill Fort got some really good, I got some drone footage. And I don't even know why I got some drone footage other than to put on this, on the YouTube version. So if you want to see some of the drone footage of it, pop onto the YouTube version of this podcast and you'll see it. Now, my next plan is to navigate my way down this hill to the corner where I can see some sheep, because I've planned a little route I want to walk on today, and I kind of take you on that journey. So my plan today is also to film another video. We've just done a huge video this weekend just gone, which is Boudicca's Last Stand, the location of, and that took me a very long time. So this week's video is going to be basically me doing a really random top 8 predictions of what transport would look like a long time ago. I saw a video which went kind of viral on the YouTube about the same sort of subject, but this guy basically used all these cards that this French guy drew in 1899, And I kind of thought, well, hang on a minute, I could do a really good version of this where I use some of the things I've seen before, some random inventions, and sort of mix it up with some of these cards as well that are relevant to sort of transport and routes, and stick them in a top 10 or whatever. So I thought I'd film that from sort of just sat relaxing on the side of a hill. This is quite a good spot, actually. Tempting, but I think I'll walk on a little bit further just yet. So the age-old question that me and Hedley ask each other, what have we been up to? What do we want to talk about and elaborate on? Well, we haven't recorded a podcast for about 4 or 5 weeks, so there's obviously been quite a lot we've both been up to, I'm sure. Interestingly, Hedley's going to be recording his, I think, from up a mountain, maybe. So you're going to enjoy that second half of the podcast, probably more than the first part, as I end up probably getting lost. But there we go, all part of the fun, isn't it? They say that's the way of life, is getting lost. So you find new stuff. So yeah, Boudicca's Last Battle was such a fascinating little project. Had no intention of doing it. But I was researching, I think, something about the Akerman Way, and I delved into this St. Albans book, all about the Iron Age bits and pieces there. And I came across a book by Duncan Mackay, which I think somebody pointed me in the direction of based on the research I was doing on St. Albans. And all of a sudden, this book, so I read a lot of this book, certainly the relevant chapters, Echolands, Duncan Mackay, and it was all about his prediction on where Boudicca's last stand was, the last battle with Suetonius, the Roman governor of Britain. And I went down this huge rabbit hole, so I thought it'd be silly not to make a video. But I didn't just do one predicted site, I did another, which was absolutely fascinating. Right, I've just come to a juncture. I've met with some friendly sheep who are looking at me like, what are you doing here? So shall I pause for a second and find which way I'm going. Gorgeous earthworks around here. Now bear in mind I've descended maybe, I don't know, 30 or 40 metres from the top. And there's another, what looks like a defensive earthwork. Just random, just there. I love that. I love the fact you're never really going to know what some of these things were. It's quite a pathway I'm on now, which is quite good. I don't know what Walbury Hillfort was actually. I don't think many people have done. Let me start that again. I don't think there has been much archaeological work done on Walbury. I could be wildly wrong. My guess would be it's on a trade, looks like an obvious trade route along a ridge here. And I'm kind of assuming it was a huge sort of marketplace, a centre where things happened. But I guess they probably didn't dwell there. They probably didn't live there. Oh, this is a nice little holloway this has turned into now. So anyway, back on to Suetonius and Boudicca. And it's such a fascinating story. And obviously you've all heard of Boudicca, but I've never really done a great deal of research on it until the relevance of everything that I love, the routes and the roads, played into this story. And Duncan Mackay kind of wanted to suggest that, well, the last place that we know Boudicca was very active was St. Albans. You know, burnt the place down after London, after Colchester. And oh, this is so beautiful. So pleased I came up here. But I still don't know if this is where I'm going to record the video. Oh, maybe I should. Maybe I should. So anyway, Duncan suggested that he's going to draw a 10-mile radius around St. Albans and find the description that best fitted Tacitus, the Roman historian's description of the battlefield, which is basically as tenuous as you can imagine. It suggested there was a wood behind a narrow passage in front of an open plain. So Suetonius had obviously manufactured this site that would fit his battle strategy. And that's it, that's all we had to go on. He even said that at the edge of the plain the Iceni and Boudica just had their carts with their wives and children in because they were that confident. They had 120,000 men ready to take on Suetonius' 10,000. And of course we all know the result was not favourable to the Iceni. I think it's as good a location as any. Maybe I'll just go a little bit higher up here. But there's no wind today, so it's perfect. Absolutely perfect. Okay, so this is a perfect location to film my little top 10 video. A few pathways around, but it's beautiful, peaceful, 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to see too many people. I'm sat on my drone helipad, hopefully to keep my bum dry. Whether it does or not, I don't know. It's already feeling quite cold. So Duncan McKay found a place called Windy Ridge, Windy Ridge Farm, and it had what he described as a perfect valley. Just moving my bum a bit. The perfect valley, which was wide enough to fit his Roman legion, or Roman legions, the 14th and the 20th, and he decided that Windy Ridge, just to the south of St Albans, was the perfect spot. And that's it. We took a look there. There was lots of lead slingshots found there as well, which sort of backed up this theory. So perfect. Well, then I went a little bit deeper on this rabbit hole, and I found a study by a man called Steve Kay. So I emailed Steve and said, Steve, I love your study. I love what you've done. Now, Steve went into this in a really mathematical, logical, evidence-based way and decided to use template matching. So essentially, I described this in the video, he labelled every single feature of the landscape in southern Britain, let's say from Birmingham south, with a colour. So whether it was a gradient, a valley, a slope, a plain, and he gave them all a colour and he put them into 9 templates. So this is what all different aspects of the landscape could look like, all rotational, based on Tacitus's description, the wooded area behind the valley sides and the plain in front, the passage and the valley side and the plain in front. And he made 9 different models of what that could look like. And so basically then put all those using a computer onto a map. So where could all of those locations be? And it came up with 2,800 or so locations on where that description would fit in the south of England. I love that. I love the way he said, well, there could be 2,800 different locations. So that was it. That's all he could do with Tacitus's description. And he decided now, well, what else he needed was to rank them in order of a number of different things. How far away it was from London and St Albans, how Tacitus would often say that Suetonius wanted a number of days marching before a battle, the location of Roman roads, settlements, and more importantly than anything, rivers. And he gave all those different rankings a weight. And he came up with about 4 or 5 really good locations, I think Dorking, I think Bulbourn Valley near Tring. But he said his top spot was Ogbourne St George in Wiltshire. Now, that's like 70 or 80 miles away from St Albans, so it's really difficult to sort of get your head around it. But when you look at the area and you look at how Tacitus describes the area, and you take in consideration the distance from London in terms of the number of marching days, it all really adds up. Now, I'm not here to say, yeah, I love that theory, that is the one, clearly. You know, I'd rather there be a lot of evidence. And maybe one day you could find that evidence by archaeological work. Again, as I think I said in a video, not in my lifetime. But nevertheless, it looks like an amazing place, the valley, when you get the drone up and you take that shot from above. So that was a really fascinating journey. It took, I think, 12 hours to film. That included sort of a driving time as we went to St Albans and we went to Ogbourne St George. It took me maybe 10 hours to research plus reading time and write the script, all included. And I think it took around about 20 to 22 hours to edit, because the way I did it, I wanted it to be a really good documentary, really good film. And I think it worked out okay. You never know how these videos are going to do when you make them, but I think if you just chuck your best work out there and you enjoy what you're doing, overall you'll get a good result, which is the key. absolutely the key. I can't describe how beautiful this setting is. I'm so pleased I came up here today, people. You're going to get a very different setting from Headley very shortly, I'm sure. But nevertheless, I'm really happy with this. The North Hampshire Downs. What an absolutely gorgeous morning. Right, I think I probably better sign off. Well, I didn't want this to be a huge long waffle, but I wanted to sort of just give some more thought behind the video I did and give you a nice little visual if you're watching the YouTube version of this podcast. I am going to hand over to Headley. Thanks for watching and we'll see you. We've got a special guest coming up. Headley's going to tell you more about that, I'm probably sure. But we've got a special guest coming up very shortly and a few more in the pipeline. So stay tuned. Keep your ears out for this podcast. Me and Headley love doing it. So I'll see you next time. Over to Headley.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a very different Wessex Ways. Paul and I, because of our diaries, we haven't been able to get together properly, as you may or may not know already. I don't know. But I'm here in the Carmarthen Fans, basically to do a little bit of photography and walking with my eldest son.
We've left Wessex for the beauty of these mountains in the Carmarthen Fans to the west of the Brecon Beacons, and we're staying here at Wildman Woods at the base of the mountains themselves.
So the mountains here, and this is the kind of the western Brecon Beacons, or Bannow Brecheiniog, that's it, I got it. They go up to about 800 and something metres, probably about 2,700 feet, so not quite as high as the central Breckons. But yeah, someone like me, it's a bit of a challenge, and I can't wait. The recent videos have been really good. You've probably seen I did one with WC21 UK Productions Limited, Darren, and that was good. So we did the Watlington White Mark, and also with Paul and Darren looking at a Roman road in Wiltshire. But this one's a bit different. This is just me struggling up hills, basically. So I'm next to this little stream here. There's my crib for the night. Nice little setup, a bit of beer ready. It's the tent, it's the Jack Wolfskin Gossamer 2. And over here is my son's setup, the main sort of area. And that's his tent, which is apparently a Vango Spectre 200. Older tent, but it's done well. And there's the table. And just down there is my son by the stream. So you've seen the sleeping quarters and the kitchen, the dining room. This is the lounge. Isn't that beautiful? And that teenager on the rock, on the wood there, is my alleged son. Yeah, not a bad place tonight to stay. Hopefully it won't get too cold. We're going to try a couple of trips up the mountain, see how it goes.
So you've heard or seen a little bit about our living quarters. Let's see if I can still climb a mountain.
Okay, so we are currently at the bottom of the main climb, going up to Llyni Fan Fa. Behind me, the mountain you can see is Pequist Du. Or Pequisti, I don't know which. It'd be nice to get the drone out up there. A little bit of a breeze down here, but I can see up there the clouds are really moving over the mountains quite quickly. So we'll see. It's not quite as bright as it was earlier either, but we'll get up there and see what it's like.
The climb starts on a long track that climbs steeply up towards the base of the fans themselves, where there is a glacial lake, Llyni Fan Fach.
So there's not a lot of Wessex in this video, sorry about that. So we've come up some of the climb there. It's actually getting really quite hot. And we're probably a third of the way up to the first lake. So we'll see. But yeah, going really, really, really well. So we've got up to the rescue shelter, just did a little drone fire flight. It really didn't go very well, even with a big heavy drone I've got. It was too windy. Here's the actual rescue shelter, just been in there for a few minutes, and then we are hopefully
going to try and get up onto the ridge.
So the path continued steeply and joined the ridge at the top. The clouds were pouring over the ridge like waterfall. It was quite an amazing thing to see, and then disappearing before they hit the lake below. We did make the summit. I was very proud of myself. And it was absolutely wonderful. And the views of the lake below and the valley that we'd come up were absolutely stunning.
There's a man behind shouting for his horses on the hill. Lovely man, but couldn't understand a word of what he said. Oh, the horses are running actually. It's working. Yeah, they can hear him. Look. There they go. They know it's dinner time.
Descending back down to the lake and then back down the track alongside the stream, the way we'd come. We had a really nice sunset and I was quite tired, but I was just happy that it was over and I'd done it, to be honest with you. So we went back.
Okay, back down in the valley. That's the climb done. Great day out and not sure what we're doing tomorrow. Could do it again, maybe go up a different mountain, but we'll see.
So I'd like to thank our audio listeners particularly for sticking with us on this one, because obviously it's been a little bit more visual. Paul and I haven't had the opportunity to get time at the same time to record a podcast, but we do have a cracking one coming up, and this is going to be Warren Brand, who we've talked about many a time. Now, Warren's a bit of a adventurer, UK adventurer. He does a lot of adventures around Wessex, but also here in the Welsh Mountains. So we're probably going to deviate a little bit from Wessex on the next one for a lot of time. But he does a lot of walking, camping. He's also the happiest man on the planet. If you see any of his videos, he's always smiling. Even in adverse conditions, he's always got this massive smile. And his videos really will cheer you up. His channel is Linlis360, but we're across that bridge in the next podcast. I spent an hour talking to him the other night. We were going to record the podcast, but unfortunately, Paul wasn't too well that evening, so instead we just basically chatted the hour away, and it was really, really good. I almost wish I'd recorded it, to be honest with you. I mean, he's a really, really engaging chap, and you guys are going to absolutely love him. Now, he inspired me to come here. The other things he does is, well, I'll tell you more when we interview him, but he's into his model railways, pubs and stuff like that as well. He's a fascinating chap and wanted to get him on for, you know, a long time. Beyond Warren, we are looking at other guests. We've got two lined up for the same podcast. They'll be joint guests. And I can't say anything at the moment because it's not set in concrete, this. Paul might have worked his magic on a very big household name for the podcast. I'm not going to say any more than that. The person coming on is very relevant, if they come on. I'm amazed that, you know, potentially this person might be coming on. They are fantastic, and I'm a bit of a fanboy if I actually get to speak to them in real life. So yeah, you'll probably see me crumble on that one if we manage to get them on. But please watch this space, because this is going to be great if Paul can pull this off. As for last night, yeah, so I got to, William and I had a campfire and, you know, didn't get to bed till midnight. I didn't really get any proper sleep until 4 a.m. Couldn't really get comfy in the tent. I think I've pitched it the wrong way around, so the head end is a little bit downhill. That's never great. But then I did get to sleep and, you know, I had a bit. Yesterday we climbed Pickwick
D, I think it's Pickwick's D, about 2,500 feet, I think. So it's, I think it's the second highest peak in the Western Breckens. Was it Carmarthen Fans? I think it's the proper name. I thought it would be a nice relaxing drive home today, but William's talking about climbing Penivan on the way back, which is 2,900 feet. So you've all seen how big I am. These things are not easy for me, but maybe I need to do it. So we'll see. Anyway, sorry, it's been a bit of a strange kind of Wessex ways this time. It's a bit of a filler, this one, to be honest with you. I don't know what Paul's done for his half of it. I don't. But I'm sure it's more interesting than mine. Anyway, from the Carmarthen fans, thank you so much for listening and watching, and see you next time.